Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
And here we go! Alright, this is it. This is the one they've all been waiting for, Jeff. It's the, shall we say, return of the Olafil's Fantasy Podcast. It's the pre-NFL draft. Post NFL draft, pre what we do in the shadows, post what we do in the shadows, May Madness, Disney song. I mean, I could list a million things going on and on. NFL schedule release party, aka none whatsoever, because I'm not into it. But you know, might have some tidbits here and there because we're gonna go all over the place, Jeff. Stay tuned for what could be a 3-hour podcast. Gucci's already laying down. He's already bored. I want to get into it, but first, I think it's just the first thing we have to always ask, Jeff, and how are you? Are you well?
Well, I'm not only well, I'm excited to be here. I mean, some would say the pod went into a bit of an isolation, a quarantine, if you will. But, you know, like you said, we left the listeners at a pivotal time in the world. Pre-draft, we didn't even get to have our props in. We kind of officially got our props in via text, but now we're here. There's just so much, you know, there's, some would say nothing happening in the world, but in the world of the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, it is chock full of content and things. And I'm excited to be here with you, Will, to get through all of it, including, I think, you know, the biggest cliffhanger, our March May Madness Disney song showdown.
Huge, huge cliffhanger. It's funny you said it because the Levitard show, they have a March Madness as well, and they're still doing it, and it's May, and they were so lost with the days that they called it April Madness, even though it was May 2nd. And he was like, oh my god, it's actually May. So they're still doing it. People are trucking along with their brackets. You know what? Dare I say we're revolutionaries. Because we're dragging it out as long as possible for content. Even though, you know, you would say and I would say we don't need that today because of how long it's been since we've last recorded. But Jeff, I don't know what you want to start with. We have about 10 bullet points here. I just want you to go. Take one and go.
Well, let's start off with a strong one. Okay. I saw your hair in a hairnet yesterday. It's getting it's getting fluffy. It's getting girthy. The net could barely contain it. Tell me about your hair update. Then I have a story too.
Okay. So my hair update is, so I sent a picture in the group chat a week ago, kind of just saying like, here it is. It's still going along. A little pushback from the wife. A little pushback. Not a lot. Saying that she wants to FaceTime her mom and have her mom give her guidance on as to how to cut my hair. Because those who don't know, Mama Wag owns a hair salon. She used to cut my hair every time back in Connecticut. But I said no. I've gone into work now. I don't wear a hat anymore. What I do is I do the Ralph Macchio bandana and kind of look like I'm about to take down Cobra Kai when I walk in. So that is how I'm doing, and I'm rocking it, man. I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm not going man bun. I'm not doing anything lame like that because that's like so 2015, and people are still doing that. I mean, come back to us. You don't play soccer. Like, come on. So I'm doing that. I'm just leaving it fluffy, kind of getting as high as I can. And, yeah, the hairnet barely can contain this machismo that we have going on, Jeff. So I'm going to ride it out as long as I can, see how much you can get. And it's not thin, which is nice. So, you know, it's not like you can see through it. It's a nice, thick, full head of hair at the age of 32. So what's going on with you, Jeff? Your hair status.
That's all we can hope for. So as of last week, I think I was in a similar situation. I mean, it was the longest hair I've had since...
Since, like, elementary, right? Or, like, baseball days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like to say 8 to 10 years old is the last time it got to this level. I mean, just hair sprawling over the ears. And so we ordered some clippers from Amazon, and that was the impetus, and it was actually delayed by like a week and a half. So I was all excited. I was like, all right,
we're in the hands of the gods.
And then it was like, sorry, your package has been delayed a week. And I was like, no, but then we got the clippers And Shay's like, oh, I'm going to, she's trying to be like a professional hairstylist. Like, I'm going to give you a fade. And I was like, let's just go one size all the way around. Let's see how that works before we get into a fade. And it was actually going pretty well until we got around the ears. And then, you know, there's a little chunk missing, but luckily I've been rocking the glasses recently. So that's been covering that up. But yes, now my hair is quite short. The youth and the vibrance, people know I'm high energy now, as Scotty would say. So that's my story. Now I think I'm just going to grow a nice stash with the short hair and just keep it real creepy.
Some would say, for those who don't know you, it's very interesting how you could classify yourself when your hair gets a little longer, kind of Jufro-y. Is that a good guess?
Completely fair. Shay likes to call it my Kramer hair when it gets really long.
So. Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some curls come out of nowhere. I mean, the curls really come out of the woodwork with you. I don't know how that happens, but yeah, you get the blonde curls. The Kramer hair, it's a very, very good one there. I'm sorry to say, I wish I could see this in person. I don't know if you have any. You've been really hidden on the social media front. Always wearing a hat or definitely glasses, like you said. Although Kellen's always rocking the Jeff hat backwards for sure. Keeping his hair hidden. So that's sad. The Clippers, I'm going to try to stay away as long as possible. I'm sure Ashley's going to think she is also professional because it's in her blood. It is in her veins for the haircut, Jeff. What's next on the docket here? Pick the next one here.
Well, I think since that was a positive update, let's go with a negative update after that. I mean, I can't say I was shocked. Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler getting a divorce kind of rocked the TV show future for I don't even remember what the title of it was, but it was good quality TV.
Very Cavallari.
I think it was I don't know how much of the, you know, post reporting is true, but it was kind of like you were getting it from outlets that weren't sports related, that, oh, they're getting divorced because he stopped putting in effort to the relationship and he stopped caring. And then all the sports people are like, yes, I mean, that was his entire football career. People, come on, where have you been?
I think there's the people who only know him from the reality show. And then there's the people who have known him for, you know, 16 years as an NFL player. There are definitely, you can look at it another couple ways as well. When he was playing football, you could say, well, Kristen Cavallari, you know, she was the one who always had to watch the kids while he was, or, you know, she was always the main person in the relationship while he was off gallivanting around the country playing football. And now it's kind of switched. He's retired and she's the one who's got the stores and the clothing lines and the tours and all this stuff. And he's the one who's kind of taking care of everything now. So you look at it that way. The interesting thing, and Ashley and I definitely had the insights on this before it was breaking news, when it was announced that they were getting divorced and separated, Ashley for sure had always said, you know, there's always been this one best friend that Kristen had through the first couple seasons of the show who just kind of disappeared. They didn't really make anything of it. It was just, she just stopped being best friends with her. Well, turns out this might be the latest person who might have been in the affair with Jay Cutler. So maybe that was a little peek behind the curtain as to why this girl was no longer on the show. Maybe something was going on there. And now there's Instagram posts with like bracelets on one arm. And in the other arm is the same bracelet. And if you look at other Instagram pictures, whose bracelet or whose arm is that? Jay Cutler's. Interesting. Oh yeah, a little deep dive.
Deep dive. Oh my gosh! I mean,
you know what they do, right? Like, people will do it. They'll post an Instagram or, you know, picture of their view, you know, day at the office, right? Looking at the beach, and they'll be in it, and then there'll just be a random arm. They won't show the person. You know, they'll show the arm, and then they'll miss. You know, they'll find that arm in another photo, and it's Jay Cutler. So that could be going on there. And then the latest, one more thing that kind of came out: these quotes, and I don't know if these are true. I've done no deep dive on this, and it's, he's frozen all the accounts. I don't know if this is true. This could be just speculation and, you know, reckless speculation at that. And he's frozen all the accounts that she can't go buy a new house and he tells her to go get a job. And I'm kind of confused because she owns a store and a company, so I'm not really sure how that stands. But I mean, whose side are you taking here? And I'm sure you're all full on Jay, but you know, does this put you into a deep despair that true love might not exist at all?
I wouldn't go that far. I would just say that I have a hard time believing the frozen account story because that seems like a lot of effort, and Jake doesn't really seem like he's going that, because he's got to like call people, he's got to be on hold with a bank, all the coronavirus, he's not getting like immediate treatment, he's got to be on the, you know, hold for at least a couple hours to get these things frozen. There's probably legal paperwork that has to go into that. It doesn't really fit his MO. I kind of like the, he kind of was just like, all right, I'm done with you, Kristen, I'm gonna go hang out at the beach with your friend and take some Instagram photos and hang out while you go run your business and take care of the kids. So on so the
true
note,
love, true love does exist.
Oh, it does. Yeah. We'll get into something about true love, Will. Pocahontas.
Oh,
Will,
yeah.
Pocahontas, John Smith. Talk about true love. You rewatched. Give us your take. I'm interested.
Oh, yeah. Gucci.
Loves Gucci's it. Into it.
Yeah. This was post. We watched it directly after an episode that we recorded. It must have been a month ago or so. And a couple of notes, I guess, I would take. You were definitely texting me during it about, you know, some of the songs definitely don't hold up. What's that one song you even told? Savages.
Yes.
Definitely a song that does not hold up. It would not be made today. But other than that, I think the art style was magnificent. It was all watercolors. I believe that's a watercolor kind of inspired. The songs absolutely hold up. I mean, we've talked about this in our tournament. Colors of the Wind. Just Around the River Bend, great songs. The storyline, I think, is better than you would remember, because John Smith is very anti, you know, taking over places, like early on too. Like, I mean, in the first 10 minutes, they show like what they've done in the past, which is fine. But the second he meets Pocahontas, it's like, boom, he's a changed man. Like, he doesn't even need to meet anybody else. I think that was kind of good. And you know what I also liked about the movie? The animals didn't talk. So I don't know if you remember this. She has like the little raccoon friend. She has a hummingbird friend. I mean, I don't know, a bunch of little animals. They don't talk. And I think that's key in this movie. Because I think if they talk like, you know, Beauty the Beast or any other fantastical movies where they have talking deer and snowmen, not pointing any out, that would kind of take away from the realistic nature of this movie. So I like it. It might be historically inaccurate, but I think it holds up very well. And we watched the entire movie, and Ashley was awake the entire movie, and that means it was good.
Oh yeah, that's two eyeballs open for Pocahontas.
Yeah, I think it holds up really well. I'm a big fan of that movie, and I think the next on the rewatch docket. Now it's been a while. It's been over a month. This was talked about a couple days ago. It was not Lion King. It was, what are we rewatching? It was a pretty awful suggestion, and I'm gonna get back to y'all. We'll circle back once I see her. She'll be walking on the house. I'm gonna ask her. We'll get back.
Okay.
I wanna go to the next thing here. I wanna talk about TV, but not the big one on the top.
Okay.
During this quarantine, there's been no sports. Okay. It's been tough. Have you ever kind of circled the TV guide? Wow, I just called it the TV guide. The guide on, you know, whether it's, oh, you don't, you know what? You don't have cable. So I'm just going to kind of give you what's going on here.
Okay.
There's no live sports. So on ESPN, ESPN2, NBC, whatever, NBC Sports, you'll kind of be scrolling through and you'll be like, the 2007 game two of the NBA finals? They're like, what? And that is what's playing randomly. The other night, it was like the 2009 NFL draft round one. And then it's like after that coming up, 2011 game four NBA finals. And you're like, you're not even playing them in order. You're just kind of playing whatever. There was this one like random MLB playoff game. No, not the World Series, mind you. It was like 2015, 2016 MLB playoff game with the Nationals. And I'm like, who's clamoring for this? Like, who? I mean, I get it. I know there's nothing to watch, but I think they are just kind of going into the – they might be playing musical chairs or just kind of, like, throwing a dart at a board. and just saying, well, which one are we going to show? Oh, yeah, Bryce Harper once hit a home run in this game in the playoffs. We'll play this one. Or LeBron James scored 42 in game two of an NBA Finals, like of a game they lost. We'll play this right now. So I guess you can't really speak to it, but this has been just amazing. The kind of low, the depths that the ESPN, all these networks are trying to go to get people to watch. I'd be just astonished to see the ratings.
Yeah, it can't be great. I will say for us who have cut the cord, it is a little interesting because there's so much TV streaming available that it's almost too much.
Oh gosh.
Where we've kind of run through like the shows that we know, and then it's kind of like, okay, what do we want to start? Because if we're going to start, we're going to invest in something. And then, you know, you're polling people and a lot of people have a different opinions. And so it's just like, you kind of get paralyzed with the, I don't want to watch that. So, I mean, there's some things, but luckily we'll get into it maybe a little later. Some sports starting to trickle back internationally at least. And, you know, the Yugoslavian soccer is holding strong out there, but, yeah, I can only imagine. I guess it's good for like, I don't know. I imagine it's like background noise for people who are just like, I don't know, they're dudes in their garage and they just have a game on, and but they're like fiddling around or whatever, and it's kind of just like on and, oh yeah, this game. All right, I'm going to go back to whatever I'm doing, and they just have it on.
It's like give ESPN some classic, nostalgia. But just not classic, yeah. I guess you'd call it. Last ESPN year. Not yeah. classic. Let's move on to a show that's true and near and dear to our hearts. What We Do in the Shadows, not only has it came back since we last recorded, it's also had four episodes since we've last recorded. It's been five episodes, I believe, now, because the first episode was like two different episodes. So we're back, five episodes in. Give me your thoughts, whether you want to call it all around, you have a couple standouts, anything that kind of pops into your mind when you're thinking of season two of What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay, I'm not 100% sure, but here's my take. I think it's still a great show. I think it's hilarious. I think people should definitely watch. It has lost a little something, and I don't know, I can't exactly put my finger on what it is, if it's a little less like kooky or weird. But I feel like the storylines and the jokes have been a little bit more mainstream, palatable. I'm not sure quite how to describe it. Like, I think it's still great. I think, certain aspects of it have been amazing. I haven't been thrilled with, I don't know, I'm very torn. The Guillermo fighting, you know, Van Helsing. It's just been, I think last season it was great because it was kind of just, you knew there was something off, and then it was kind of a big reveal, but now it's kind of just in your face a little bit too much. And I don't know how to take that. I'm still getting into it, but I don't know. What do you think, Will?
I'm all over the board on this. The first episode of season two, fantastic. I mean, I think it was exactly what the show was about in the first season. Now, of course, on top of my head, I can't really remember exactly what was in the first episode, but I remember loving it. And then I remember the second episode of that, and I didn't love it. I actually hated it. I thought I missed something, so I rewatched it. The second episode was the one where like their past ghosts came back, or their past selves came back, and they had to like talk to them and figure something out to make them pass on to the other side. I'm not really sure what was going on there. And Nadja had a girl that went into a doll, and then Nandor had a horse. So it was all over the place there. Not a big fan of that one. The next couple episodes, like you said, now they're kind of diving into this Van Helsing storyline. Guillermo's going to this vampire hunters club for a couple episodes, couple guest stars there. Craig Robinson went there. It was funny. But you're right. It was kind of like they were just embracing that too much. They've kind of gone away from, like you said, the kookiness and the one-off episodes. Now they're trying to make like a cohesive storyline. The very first episode, Haley Joel Osment. That was a fantastic episode. That was, because that was a kooky. It was, they're trying to find a new, what are they called? What's Guillermo called?
Like a familiar.
Yeah, they were trying to find a new familiar for the other two. And they all kept dying or whatever, and Haley Joel Osment ended up being one of my favorite lines from that episode. I remember, I'm not even looking this up, I just remember now, it just came to me. He is an investor, like he has like 0.5% stock in a apple cider company, or what, a hard apple cider company. And Guillermo was like, oh, what's it called? I think he calls it, it's called Dole's or something. And Guillermo's like, oh yeah, I like the apple juice. And then Haley Joel Osment's character just goes, well, it's apple flavoring. We can't say apple juice. And I was just like, oh my God, great line. It was a great line. So very random, very kooky. And now they're trying to go into this big old storyline with Guillermo. They're trying to sell us on him being a murderer and a vampire hunter. I think this most recent episode kind of got back into the kookiness with Colin Robinson, because he is the most strange character in this entire show. He ends up becoming a very powerful vampire because he gets so much energy sucked out of people. I loved the scene with him cracking stupid jokes and everyone dying laughing at him because he's just like, you know, hello, is this thing on? And just the whole – everyone is just laughing. And he's sucking the energy out of it. And the other vampires are kind of scared of him now. And I think that was kind of good, because that was more into his character other than just him being some dude who kind of mopes around. Side note, we have an energy vampire at Shake Shack. Just letting you know.
Oh, no.
we do. And my boss actually texted me. He's like, dude, we have one here. His name's Kyle. I'm like, oh, my God. He's totally – he'll come up to you and just ask you questions that he knows the answer to. And you're just like, what are you doing? So that was a long diatribe, but – I'm a little disappointed in the season as a whole. I think that's where I'm getting at here. Had a couple strong episodes and a couple weak ones. But I get it. It's hard. It's hard to kind of recapture that. Like when a show is a surprise, I think it's hard to kind of keep that going.
Yeah, definitely. I think you hit it kind of on the head, right? Like, I think there's been parts that have been like brilliant and hilarious, but the overall, like, last season, there wasn't any storyline. There was no beginning and end. There were, like, little threads between episodes and little recurring jokes, but there wasn't, like, A to B, which it kind of seems like there is with the Guillermo plotline, which is taking away from it a little bit. But I'm still tuning in. No way I'm giving it up.
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Another random funny line was when they were – so, yes, the hunters and the murderer, vampire people, whatever, they're probably done. But the end of that second episode, when the one of the guys died and it's his mom's van, they're just like in the van driving home without him. And then one girl just goes like, you know, we still have to take Derek's van back to his mom. And like, that was it. Like, and that's just the end of that scene. And I'm like, yeah, see, perfect. Perfect fluff there. Jeff, okay, let's go with two more things here. Have you been watching The Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls documentary? I'm sure it's streaming somewhere.
I have not, but all I've heard is it's, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. So
just like Little Caesars. Yes, it is. It is great. But you haven't watched it, so guess what? We have another hour to talk about stuff, so I'm gonna move on there. It's great. Try to watch it whenever you can. Lots of cursing, lots of funny Michael Jordan stories where he's definitely has a gambling problem, even though he says he doesn't multiple times in this documentary. And Final Fantasy VII, I'm playing that for those who – I know like Scotty and Kurt, they bought PS4s a long time ago for God of War. This Final Fantasy VII, I mean, it's just majestic. Just a fantastic game. Love it. Quarantine Bod, this is the last thing I'm going to go on. How are you – we talked about the hair, right? But now we've got, you know, the restaurants, the bars, they're all closed, takeout only, all that stuff. How's the quarantine bod looking, Jeff?
Yeah, surprisingly, it's been pretty good. I think, you know, the one point of constant activity Shay and I have been trying to do is just getting outside, whether it's for a run, a walk. And obviously, we've been cooking a lot more at home. And Shay and I aren't exactly chefs, so we can't, like, bake up a nice cake or get a nice bowl of pasta going. So we've been trying to eat pretty healthy. So the quarantine bod's, you know, pretty strong. And actually, people have commented I've been getting more tan recently. So it's that's something you don't hear every day in my neck of the woods with my translucent skin. So
I guess so. This picture you did send me, do you have a little bronze to you? Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. What about you, Will? Obviously, you have a direct line to Shake Shack, which can be good or bad depending on how you look at the quarantine bod.
Now we are doing incredibly well. I mean, some would say we are losing LBs. In fact, that's a fact. Doing really good. I've gone back to the no carb life. Granted, now that I'm back at Shake Shack, I am cheating once or twice a week,
Cheating.
but I'm going, I'm doing really good. We're cooking a lot, like you just said, cooking a lot at home. Lots of chicken, lots of pork, lots of, I mean, we eat eggs every day. I mean, I'm talking, we haven't not
Are you
had eggs this
Gaston
entire
level
time.
of eggs?
We are close. We are approaching the 6 dozen eggs a
Oof.
day. We are really, I mean, every time we go to the store, we buy at least 2 dozen. Like, and not even knowing what we have at home, we always buy 2 dozen eggs every time we go to the store, just because we are making that all the time. She made a great shrimp, like a shrimp margarita bowl. The other night, just a little bit of shrimp, a little bit of rice, a little bit of lettuce, a little bit of salsa, a little bit of hot sauce, sour cream. Mwah. It was absolutely delicious. So yeah, I think it's going great. I think it's actually, I mean, I could see how people could be gaining weight or maybe just like, being lazy or whatever, but having the ability to not constantly go out and drink and eat, eating out, I think that is also kind of like, it's a nice little balance. And of course, going on walks all the time definitely helps.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, staying healthy, keeping that immune system up. It'll be interesting. I'm not sure what North Carolina is doing, but today kind of marks our entrance into phase two. So,
Ooh, ours is phase 1 today.
ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, phase 1 is, isn't it nice? Phase 1 is today, so I think that's like, I don't know what it is. Whatever phase 1 is, I think like some barbershops can open back up. I don't really know what it is, to be honest.
Yeah, they put out a list, and I don't want to belabor it because another pod did like a 45-minute segment on it, but it was like approved activities that you could do in phase two, and it was like throwing a football, and then in parentheses, not in a group. And I was just
What?
like, so you're either one person or it's just you throwing a football, running after it. And then it also said soft martial arts, and I was like Tai Chi. I was like, okay, it's thank you. Thank you.
Well, I could use that list because I'm lost. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what phase 2 starts in 2 weeks from today. So I know
Oh.
phase 2 said like soft opening of restaurants and bars. So I don't,
Yeah.
not sure what that means either. I think it says like 50% of your max occupancy or something. I'm not 100%.
Yeah. We can have 25% of max occupancy.
Ooh, well, but 25% in California is way more than 55 or 50% in North Carolina. But we'll save that for the government pod, the coronavirus pod. Well, you want to talk about football?
Yeah, why not?
I
Still want to
mean,
dash it in there. Some things have happened since we last spoke, so.
like you said, not a lot happens every day, but when you wait 4 weeks, a lot happens. I guess your boy, I know Greg was texting, your boy goes to your team. Andy Dalton goes to save the Dallas Cowboys. How are you feeling about that?
I mean, I kind of feel it's kind of weird. I don't know. It just must be the year. The quarterback market is just super depressed. Like, there's just been a flood. I mean, he signs as a backup, which we kind of expected, but for like a small amount of money, like $1 million guaranteed. And he's not even in a situation where there's like a second year guy or, even like a third year guy that he could compete and maybe win the job. It's kind of like Dak's on the precipice of getting a big contract, so it doesn't seem like there's a lot of competition. I guess this is also, a ploy by the Cowboys kind of front office to be like, hey, you're replaceable. We can bring in someone, we'll be fine moving forward. We got the weapons. But I think, I mean, he's a Texas guy, so it's good for him, happy for him and his family. I think it's kind of one of those where he'll be back up, but then see how this year plays out because, I think a lot of teams will come to realize after this year that maybe they don't have their quarterback of the future, and Andy Dalton can be another bridge guy to bring up a rookie. So, not sure what the Bengals were thinking. I guess they didn't want to pay him a lot, but I don't know if they couldn't just bring him back for $1 million too, why they wouldn't, and at least have him like help out Burrow.
Yeah.
So that was a little confusing.
I think it's nice for Dallas. You just got the cheapest, best back. You have the best backup quarterback in the league, right? I mean, that's pretty much, unless you're counting like Tua as a backup, or I don't know how you would count that situation. Or, I mean, I think I would rather have Andy Dalton than Jameis. Well, we'll get to that in a second. I like it for Dallas. Lots of weapons, and it's just good insurance policy, especially, I think it was someone tweeted about Patrick Mahomes and Matt Moore, how they have Matt Moore as their backup and for the Chiefs. And there was that game where Patrick Mahomes got hurt for that half, or, you know, he missed a game and a half. And if Matt Moore doesn't come in and finish that game off against the Packers or whatever, the Chiefs would have lost a tiebreaker to the Patriots. And then they would have been the 3 seed, which means they would have had to, you know, do something completely different than what they'd had to go to. So having a good backup, even if it's just they come in for literally a quarter or 2 quarters of a game, it really proves beneficial for, like, the long run. You wrote down Gronk here.
Did we talk about him last time? I don't remember.
I mean, we could look on the rundowns in the past, but I have zero idea. I mean, he's back.
Back in the league. Tom pulled him back.
He used the conch shell.
Yeah.
And he got Gronk back. You know, it's not you can't take the player out of the game, but you can take the Belichick out of the player. I guess that's really all that matters. So Gronk's back. I'm actually looking right now. Nope, we did not talk about it. So there you go.
I feel like it was a curse of the pod moment.
Isn't it always?
It was kind of like, I feel like the rumors were coming out, and then we were like maybe dismissive, and then a day later he came back.
You know what it is? It happened like 2 days before the draft.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about the draft. So I guess that makes sense that we never had that. So Gronk's back. I mean, cool. The Buccaneers, we're not really ever going to get into it, I don't think, but they have 5 primetime games. So there you go. Brady and Gronk going to be on a lot of televisions for everybody. Let's talk about the guy that Brady replaced, Jameis Winston to the Saints. And I kind of want to tie that into Andy Dalton. First, Jameis goes to the Saints, another cheap, cheap, cheap deal. Breeze has only, you know, 1 year left really on his deal. And he's already signed a deal with NBC to go to NBC to be, you know, an analyst when he's done with the Saints. So Jameis can be the starter, presumably, maybe, you know, if everything goes his way in a year and Taysom Hill doesn't really become that quarterback. I want you to kind of talk to that. And also, would you rather have Jameis or Andy Dalton as like a backup quarterback?
Oh, that's tough. I guess I would probably rather have Andy Dalton. Just a little from like a backup perspective, you want that Matt Moore type who's going to come in for a couple games and be like an above average game manager, I guess. If you really believe in your starter, like I believe the Saints do with Drew Brees for another year. I mean, Jameis Winston proved that he could win some games. He could also lose some games for you. So I would probably lean Dalton, but I don't know if, you know, it's so weird. It's all the coaches speak. You know, is Jameis the future, or is he kind of just laying in wait for a lot of these second and third year quarterbacks to see what they do this year? And then maybe he can get re-signed or at least go into a competition scenario. So I think it just opens up Taysom Hill a little bit more as well, where, you know, they can continue to use him as kind of a utility player versus if he's their backup, they have to play it a little bit more safe with Taysom. So I think it definitely was not a spot that I thought Jameis or Dalton would land, but it does add a little bit of spice to the year.
So I think I would actually rather have Jameis, only because you don't know what you know. It's like Forrest Gump says, you know, with the box of chocolates, you just never know what you're going to get. And Jameis Winston just absolutely brings that fire of what the hell is happening. Am I getting the 500-yard, 6-touchdown game, or am I getting a 100-yard, 4-interception, 2-fumble game? And yeah, is it going to cost you a game? Absolutely. But are you going to enjoy watching it? 100%. You know, you could even say you don't want to really watch Tom Brady play sometimes, especially last year where it's check down city. I would much rather watch the dude who's just going to absolutely sling the hell out of the ball, sling the pill, throw the rock.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Duke. And just bring that excitement and just know that something's going to happen. I'm tuning in. I mean, think the red zone was a Jameis Winston fever dream. Every time it switched to a Buccaneers game last year, you're like, oh my God, please let it be them on offense. Because you
Yeah.
just didn't know what was going to happen. So I love it. I think Jameis, whether or not he's going to be the starter at some point, and it's going to be Taysom Hill is another question. But having Jameis as your backup is just an awesome thing for fans to see. And who knows, maybe he has to come in a game against the Buccaneers. You never know.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. From a fantasy perspective, I don't know. Do you almost want Jameis more than Drew Brees? Just he would just, to your point, he'd be slanging pills out to Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and getting Kamara involved. It would just be a lot of slanging. So it's interesting. It's one of those situations where the fantasy value almost increases or at least stays the same, you have to think, if he comes in.
Yeah, and I think with just, I mean, fantasy implications, of course, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine having Jameis thrown into Michael Thomas and who else? Emmanuel Sanders, I guess. Oh, never mind. That's not exciting anymore. Dump off to Alvin Kamara. Congratulations. Cam Newton's still not on a team. I don't know what. I don't know.
How?
That. I don't know, man. I it.
Tua just got drafted, like, what, third, fourth, fifth? I don't remember. Fifth, it was so
Fifth.
long.
Fifth. It was a month ago. No,
He had
fifth.
a broken hip a year ago. But Cam Newton can't get $1 million? Come on, folks.
It's just the right place, I guess. He wants to be a starter. I mean, no one knows what's going on in his head. So we would just have to assume he doesn't want to go be Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton. He doesn't want to back up somebody. But now that the draft is done, man. I mean, where can he go that doesn't already have a quarterback? I think you wrote the Broncos, the Jaguars, or the Redskins. I think it was ATN that said the Redskins already got the Panthers quarterback they wanted because they traded for Kyle Allen. It seems like the Jaguars are the one real team that need a backup. I mean, it's Gardner Minshew, and I couldn't even pretend to name who their backups are. Gardner Minshew, do you think it's just gonna take a while? Maybe this. Who knows if there's even gonna be a season? But will Cam Newton eventually find a team? Sure, but I wonder if it's gonna take the training camp injuries, the who for the Jaguars?
Oh, Mike
Oh
Glennon.
Jesus, you can do better than that, Jags. You can do
Yeah.
better than that. But yeah, Cam Newton, poor guy, just kind of chilling in Charlotte, I guess. Waiting for the call.
Waiting for the call. Do we want to talk draft? Do we want to just move on? I mean,
Oh, Jesus.
we got a lot. We can go to the what's on my mind area, I think.
All right, I'll do this. We'll move. Let's just move. If we have something that's on our mind from the draft, I can definitely add some stuff to that because I'm going. I'll do one thing. I'll add one little tidbit here, and that's all I'm gonna say. All right. Yeah, let's just go to what's on our mind. The draft, whatever. Who cares, right? The draft happened. I hated that the Chargers drafted Herbert, but whatever. We'll see what happens. I hope Tua does well. There you go. Go Dolphins. So this is the segment. We've been gone for so long. Is it football related? Is it anything else related? What have we missed in the past month? There are things. What are we thinking? This kind of ties in the draft too. So I'm going to first go with my thought about Aaron Rodgers. So the Packers drafted Jordan Love. Shockingly, they traded up for him in the first round to get him. Eerily reminiscent of when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre still had a couple years left. So here's a stat I heard, and I want to get your take and see what you think the answer is. How many touchdown passes has Aaron Rodgers thrown to first round picks? And I'll give you a little kind of comparison. Peyton Manning has thrown like it's like 240 he's thrown to first round picks. Granted, it's been multiple teams for that. Tom Brady has thrown 100 and something touchdown passes to first round picks. Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we know that. Where was Jordy Nelson? Where was he taken?
He was drafted in the second round.
Okay, well, there's takes that. Davante Adams, I believe, was second as well.
Yep. Yep.
Cobb, I do not believe, was a first rounder either. Is it?
I think he was a second rounder as well. He might have been a fourth, but I think he was a second rounder.
Jimmy Graham?
Was never a. He was a.
Undrafted basketball
guy. Yeah, he was a basketball player guy, yep. Oh, just going down the list, huh?
I don't think. I mean, zero? One?
Ooh. Oh, the answer is one. Congratulations. Now, could you
was
even
it like
fathom?
Interception or something?
No, that's a great. That see, I thought about that too, because I did think. I think he threw a pick six to Darquez Denard of the Bengals, and he is a first round pick. But that's not what we're counting. I do actually think that. No. So you want to know who? Do you even? Could you even guess who it is?
God. No, it's had to be a long time ago, I presume.
That is incorrect. It was actually last year.
What?
Yeah, that's even crazier to me. Mercedes Lewis.
Oh.
The tight end who was a first-round pick by the Jaguars, who I don't know if he's still on the Packers, but he was on the Packers. It was either last year or 2 years ago. That is the only first-round pick that Aaron Rodgers has thrown a touchdown pass to. It's funny because I actually thought, well, wasn't there a running back they drafted in their first round? No. The last person they drafted in the first round that was a skill position player was Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
So they've drafted a couple O-linemen in the first round. And then other than that, it's been all defensive players. Until now, of course, they drafted Jordan Love. So there you go. They said they needed some more offensive weapons, so they drafted one, Jordan Love.
Ooh. Yeah,
pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. So you're not on the Herbert bandwagon. You don't think he's
nah.
You know, he's fine.
I mean, he was a Chargers fan when he was a kid. I didn't know that, so that was kind of cool. Granted, when he was a kid, it was 12 years ago, so he was definitely hopping on that bandwagon. So good on him.
That 06 hype train.
Oh, don't even. Yeah, that was a great train to be on. So that's that. That's my Aaron Rodgers. I'm very upset. I'm kind of, you know, will he be on the Packers? Will he do a Brett Favre and just absolutely perform out of his mind for the next 3 years and keep Jordan Love riding that pine? We'll see. But it's just – it's insane to me that they want to go to, like, a running game with Aaron Jones and whoever the hell else.
They drafted that girthy beast straight-ahead running guy.
Yeah. Not Zach. Zach Moss went to the Bills. Some other runner. But whatever. So there you go. That's my thoughts on the Packers, and it's an insane stat.
A.J. Dillon.
Lovely.
Boston College. There you go. You said life without sports. We hit on it a little bit earlier, Will. It's been tough. But let me just get a take. I didn't write it down, but it kind of is a broader, maybe philosophical question.
Ooh, yes.
Do you have any issue watching sports with no fans in the stadium?
I think baseball is fine because, you know, that's already how it happens. Charger games are fine. Baseball, I mean, I really think the only sport that it would impact to me is football. Maybe yeah. Soccer, I guess soccer. But like basketball, I would have no issue. In fact, basketball would be really fun to watch with no fans. Because all you would hear are the squeaks of the sneakers, and you would hear them talk a lot of crap to each other. You would hear all their audio as they're playing. I think that would be tremendous to watch on television. Football and soccer, I think the fans really impact those matches a lot, especially football. I mean, when you can't hear plays because of fans, that's a huge one. So for the first two I mentioned, basketball, hockey, I mean, well, I guess hockey too. Basketball and baseball, I would have no issue.
Yeah. I feel like the home field advantage in baseball has nothing to do with the fans. It's mostly just like you're used to the stadium, I guess, and you can kind of know how to hit the ball and where the soft spots are, I guess. I don't know. Basketball, again, you're using hand signals, you're running plays, the coach is yelling. It's not that much of a advantage. But soccer, it's been interesting. And yeah, football, I think, would just be weird for the celebrations piece, right? Like, who, you're not jumping in the empty stands, whatever, the Lambo leap isn't happening, unless they just put like two socially distanced people in the end zone and then you can jump there. But soccer, it's kind of been interesting because the German soccer, the Bundesliga, is starting up next week with no one in the stadium, and the Premier League is set to vote, I think it's either this weekend or next weekend, on when and how to start back up. And it's kind of interesting that for those who don't know, the bottom three teams get relegated to the lower league, and essentially means that their club goes into a bit of ruin because all their top players leave. They lose all the advertising and media dollars with that. So I believe it's the league needs 14 yes votes. And I believe there's 18 teams in the league. So there's four teams who are in relegation danger who don't want to start. They want to invalidate the whole season. They don't want to play in empty stadiums because, you know, it can be a bit of an advantage if you're playing in like a 30,000 stadium with 100% of your fans, and they're getting raucous and they're getting in the other players' heads because they're really close to the field. It can be somewhat of an advantage, and there's obviously the travel aspect, even though England isn't that large. But I just thought it was funny that you would think that the people on the lower league teams, they aren't making as much, so they probably want to get back to, you know, maximizing their earnings potential, and, you know, playing to try and get on a better team. But their organizations are the ones that are voting against it. But I think it will be weird. Like, I don't know. It'd be weird, but I agree with you. I think it's better than nothing. And I would much prefer that we get sports back for a lot of people's, you know, albeit it's not the worst thing in the world, and it's definitely not something to super complain about, but I think it would be a big help for just maintaining social distance and keeping people home if you had sports on TV.
Speaking of internet, really quick, I think we're going to upgrade our internet because Ashley has been teaching from home. So I wonder, like, she is on it right now too. She's in the other room, so I don't know. I mean, apparently it's free to upgrade for a year, so we'll see. Get that 1 terabyte, dude. Get that AT&T fibes. But I don't want to be like, she's already been asking, and I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, because the pod is the one that's suffering.
That's what put it over the top. Is,
yeah, I know. She's like, I've been asking for like a week. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I just tried doing a pod, and it was definitely stuttering. So you're right. No, you're totally right. I think the... What I want to talk about really quick too is, did you watch the NFL draft? I know like you don't have whatever it is streaming. Did you watch any of it, or were you able to?
Yeah, I was able to stream it on like the ESPN app. And
Okay. What are you, just not a 10-minute review, not a, you know, just a quick little, a quibby, if you will, a quick bite, as all these ads you've been seeing of these little video, whatever the heck it is. Give me a quick bite. Give me a quibby on the NFL draft.
It wasn't actually that much different for me as a viewer, I guess. I think they did a pretty good job of keeping things interesting as much as you can with the draft, right? Like, I did think there was that drop off in between picks of people going up in the pictures and the crowd reactions and stuff like that, because as we saw with the Chargers, they couldn't even field 12 people to get on their Zoom call, which was pretty funny. I thought it was fine. I didn't have many qualms with it.
So first thing is, if we were going to do our pre-draft pod, I would have said it's going to get 30 million people. And it was, I mean, it got like 17 million viewers, which is absolutely insane. But my thoughts, I thought it was boring as hell. I actually was really not into it. I thought it was boring. Yeah, it is, but I think having not the players there, I think no fans, you know, no atmosphere at least surrounding it. I was just not into the Zoom calls. Like, they did a pretty good job, but it was still, you would get the 3-second delays. You know how you nod over and over again until you get the clear to start talking. I also absolutely hated the scouting reports. And the third thing was always some sort of sob story. It was, you know, it was 3 bullet points. It was, you know, All-American for 4 years at Oklahoma.
Track star.
Ran a 4.29 and a 6-second shuttle drill. And mom was addicted to cocaine for 21 years. I was like, wait. You're like, wait, what? He ran a 4.29? That's really good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one thing always stood out. And it wasn't just one person. It was literally, there was one where it was like raised by his brother. And I was like, was his brother... In no context. It only said, like, was raised by his brother. Didn't say what happened before. Like, these were just total reaches, and I really, it was just really, it was kind of bringing me down, to be honest. Like, I don't, you know, cool, this dude's mom was addicted to cocaine for 25 years, and she became sober.
Yeah.
Does that make him good at the cover, too? Like, I'm really confused how that kind of brings this full circle. But I didn't even finish. Like, when I'm granted, I'm on the East Coast. But I was getting ready for bed, and my friend Joe texted me. He's like, the Chargers traded. And I'm like, they did? Like, that's the time I start. Like, I turned it off. They traded back in the first round to get that linebacker. I was just very out of it. So hopefully, you know, God, I really hope they don't think that they can do this every year.
No, yeah. I mean, I would like to see the Bellagio be utilized, the fountains, the gondolas getting people out there. To your point, with most drafts, I had it on in the background, and then it's like, you know, okay, the pick's in. I watch. That's who it is. I walk away. I wasn't staying for the backstories.
Yeah, it's just, it's great. This is fantastic. Zencastr, like, my favorite thing about this is the quality is so good, if you get it. Just because this is always an adventure, and you know what? What's not, you know, it's not about the end. It's about the adventure on the way. You know, something like that, right? It's about the journey. It's about the journey, not the destination. All right. With that, that is the end of this pod. Thanks for listening. We'll try to be with you guys at some point next week. Be safe and have fun entering phase 2, Jeff, as we enter phase 1. Peace.